prayer. So I could use a few today. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, your word tells us to ask when we need something from you, when we need your help and your strength and your peace and your guidance and your love and your forgiveness, to simply ask and you will provide it. Today's a day for us to take those words on faith and to trust that you do exactly what you say you will do. So Lord, bless us this day as we learn more about prayer. And most especially, learn more about you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Do I have any golfers in the room? Anyone play golf? Well, actually, there's a difference between playing golf and being a golfer. I play golf. At least I try. And we're in that time of year as the seasons change and warmer temperatures and such, that a lot of us will be hitting the links, as they say. I spent some time one time with a very good golfer. In fact, he was a golf pro at one of the courses here in town. And I said, you know, what should I do to improve my game? I thought he was going to say, you know, practice your putting or drive straight down the fairway on your drives. And actually what he said was, you should probably just take 2 weeks off and then give up the game altogether. That's what he said. I wonder today if you had an opportunity to ask God to help you in an area of your faith, what would it be? If you had an opportunity to ask God to help you in one area of your faith, what would it be? Would it be to understand the Bible more? Would it be to have more time to serve more? Would it be to have the resources to be more generous? What would it be? Well, the disciples had such an opportunity to ask a question of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. In verse 1, which we didn't read, but begins the very chapter that we read from this morning, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." They could have asked for a lesson on anything at that moment. Teach us to preach. Teach us to lead. Teach us to do whatever it is that God is asking us to do. But instead, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." That tells us a lot about the disciples of Jesus. And it tells, I think, something about maybe where our focus should lie. Lord, teach us to pray. I suppose if we're being honest, most of us might admit that we don't pray very well. There may be a few of us in the room that are just those prayer warriors that know exactly what to say and how to say it and when to say it, and we go to them on a regular basis. But most of us, I think, if we're being honest, would say, you know, I don't pray very well. I try. I get up in the morning and try to pray, but my mind gets distracted on the events that I have to engage in. And I try to pray before I go to bed, but I end up falling asleep in the middle of the prayer. People often tell me those things, and I say, you know, what better way to fall asleep? Talking to God. Truth be told, most of us struggle with praying. We shouldn't be surprised. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Says that right in the Bible. We do not know what we ought to pray for. And that verse continues in Romans 8, 26 and says, but the Spirit intercedes for us. So what that passage literally means is even though we struggle with our prayers, we often don't pray as we think we ought to, that God Himself, the very Spirit of God, is interceding for us, praying alongside of us. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. That's encouraging. People have often talked to me over the years and said, you know, I just don't feel very, very close to God right now in my life. And one of my questions is always, well, tell me about your prayer life. Well, I just haven't had a lot of success at that. I haven't had a lot of time and really don't know what to say. And I said, well, you know, my experience is if you could just focus a little more time, set aside a little bit of time in the morning, a little bit of time throughout the day, and a little bit of time in the evening, and just talk to God as though He was the friend standing next to you, you might find that God is suddenly feeling a little closer. You see, the power of prayer is not found in merely reciting words. It's rooted in a relationship with God. Now, ironically, when the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray, He gives them the Lord's Prayer, the words that we just prayed. And the temptation, I think, for us is to see the Lord's Prayer as just something that we recite, something we say, rather than to listen to the words we say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, prayer is not just repeating some memorized phrases designed to produce magical results. Prayer is literally talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. So when should we pray? Well, the Bible says to pray unceasingly, to pray all the time. And I realize that can be challenging when we think that we've got jobs to do and families to care for and places to go and responsibilities to be mindful of. And praying unceasingly doesn't mean we set aside all those things, but rather we interject our prayers into the very lives that we live. See, my experience is that any time is a good time to pray. Any time is a good time to pray. To help His disciples understand the very nature of prayer, Jesus told them the story, the parable that we read. And He said, suppose you have a friend. It's interesting, Jesus bases His teaching on prayer on friendship. Friendship with God. Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. It seems like an awful time to knock on your neighbor's door, doesn't it? At midnight? Well, the scenario that Jesus sets up is that an unexpected visitor has come into town. And the importance of friendship and hospitality in Mid-Eastern culture is being elevated to the forefront here. The person who had a guest arrive at midnight was obligated to provide something for that guest. So much so that they were willing to go knock on a neighbor's door to find the help they needed. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, any time is a good time to pray. The great evangelist D.L. Moody has been quoted as saying, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. But D.L. Moody said, The only way to trouble God is not to come at all. The only way to trouble God is to not pray. Any time is a good time to pray. Furthermore, any reason is a good reason to pray. In verse 6 of Luke 11, as the friend is knocking on his neighbor's door, he says, "A friend of mine is on a journey and he's come to me and I have no food to offer him." That may seem like a trivial matter, but obviously it was important to the person knocking on his neighbor's door. Any reason is a good reason to pray. Whatever's on your heart, whatever worries you, whatever troubles you, whatever brings you joy, whatever makes you smile, whatever problems you're aware of. In fact, our reading from the book of James earlier kind of covers the gamut of human experiences in saying, "Is anyone among you in trouble?" Interestingly enough, I remember preaching this passage years ago in a very small congregation where I was serving. There was a small child who was restless with his parents, and this is a true story, restless with his parents in the back. And when I read that verse, "Is any of you among you in trouble?" this little voice said, "I am." You can't make that stuff up. James says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." It's as if God is speaking through the writer of this book saying, any reason is a good reason to pray. In the story that Jesus told, it was common in that culture that if the door was open to your neighbor's house, it meant you were welcome to come in. And so the door was open all day long in that culture. Hospitality was emphasized, welcoming was emphasized. But at nighttime, the door would have been shut, which would have been an indication that now's not a good time. And so as the friend knocks on his neighbor's door, the neighbor responds and says, "I can't help you this late at night. I'm in bed with my children, with my family. We're all asleep." When the door was open, you could come in, but when the door was closed, you had to stay out. Sort of a do not disturb sign that was on the door. But in verse 8, Jesus gets to the crux of the message. He says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Because of your shameless audacity. Understand something here. Parables are designed to help us gain an understanding of eternal things. And sometimes parables are, by nature, comparison stories. God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And sometimes parables are meant to contrast something. Jesus isn't telling us that God is like the neighbor who says, "Don't bother me now." Rather, Jesus is reminding us that with God, the door is always open. And we should always be willing to ask for whatever it is that we feel that we need in that moment in our life. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is slow down a little bit. But Jesus is emphasizing the shameless audacity, the willingness to go to the neighbor, to the friend, and ask for what is needed. That seems to be the emphasis of this story. That when we pray, we should be able to approach our Father's throne with a certain type of boldness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says it this way. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence or boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Any reason is a good reason to pray. And lastly, I would tell you any place is a good place to pray. You can come to church and pray, but you can go to work and pray. You can stay home and pray. You can go to school and pray. Well, I know school is not a good place to pray nowadays, but if you've ever been in a school during testing time, there's a lot of prayer going on. Any place is a good place to pray. Verses 9 and 10 of our passage today from Luke 11, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I had a unique experience in my childhood in that I lived next door to my grandmother. Now, let me give you the scenario. I was the youngest grandchild, born 2 years after my grandfather had passed. Let's just say I filled a void. And you add on to that the fact that I was often sick as a child with asthma, as I kind of am today. And let's just say I had a special place in my grandmother's heart. I don't really know what God looks like, but it wouldn't surprise me if occasionally he might wear an apron. Because I could go to my grandmother at any time of the day or night. Didn't even have to knock on the door. And she would provide whatever it is that I may have needed in that moment. If she didn't have it, she'd go buy it. I can't tell you the number of times I would walk into her little trailer where she lived, and she'd be lying on the couch with a cold rag over her head, suffering from some headache or migraine. But when Davy walked in, she would pop up and say, what can I make for you? What can I get for you? I know my grandmother wasn't perfect. She's close. She wasn't perfect. She was human like all of us. But I will forever have that image in my mind as a child saying, that's what God is like. That unconditional love, that willingness to provide anything that is needed in the moment. She didn't always give me what I wanted. She always gave me what I needed. So how's your prayer life? Do you believe in the power of prayer? I do. I believe that God responds to the honest and sincere and faith-filled prayers of his people. That the very hand of our Creator is moved in response to the prayers of his children. Do you believe that? You know, in James it says, if anyone is sick, let them be prayed for, and the prayers of a righteous person affects much. You know, James uses an interesting word when he talks about healing. He doesn't use the medical term for healing. He uses the theological, spiritual word for healing that means wholeness. I know that there are many of us today that are praying for others in our lives that are sick with very serious conditions. And we know that sometimes God heals and restores health, and sometimes God does not. But God always restores us to wholeness when we turn to him. On Friday, I had an opportunity to go home, and home is a an hour and a half away, southeastern Ohio, and my best friend from my school days, we met each other in kindergarten. His dad passed away last week, and he called me and asked me if I would do the service for his dad. His dad was like a second father to me. We did the same thing last year for his mother. And one of the things I said at the service is that his dad, his name was Herb. I said, you know, the last year or so has been the worst for Herb. He lost his wife. He's lost his health. He's lost his life. And then I said, you know, also maybe we could think that the last year or so for Herb's life has been the best. And in the last year or so, he was baptized. Started going to church. And my friend, Eric, had a conversation with his dad in the last week of his life and said, Dad, do you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And his dad raised his hand toward heaven and said, I do. And I tell you something. It doesn't get any better than that. A lot of people have been praying for Herb for a lot of years. I believe in the power of prayer. Do you? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, your heart of generosity, your goodness, your willingness to always hear us when we pray. Lord, we've all experienced frustration in our prayer life because things haven't happened the way we had prayed or in the timing that we had prayed. But remind us today, Lord, that you're not a genie in a bottle, but rather you are a loving Heavenly Father who provides His children what they need when they need it. And Lord, that requires our trust. It requires our faith. So Lord, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples to pray. And teach us to have a faith that comes to your throne of grace with a level of shameless audacity, with a boldness that doesn't give up, but keeps on asking and keeps on seeking and keeps on knocking at any time, at any place, and for any reason. Lord, I pray that in the days and weeks ahead that your hand will be moved by the prayers of your people as they live in response to your word today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.